B-Pod Studios.
It's fastly approaching. 610-632-0975, 610-632-0975. You're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic, WPN Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. Coming up in a minute, we're going to talk to Zach Berman from Philly.com, Philadelphia Inquirer, and maybe he'll shed a little bit more light on everything going on with this NFL draft. Let's get to David in Springfield. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, David?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure, man.
I'm a Browns fan, so...
Oh, congratulations.
Hey, well, you don't win any games in March, you know?
So right.
We need another linebacker, maybe Eric Berry at safety, but, you know, with Kareem Hunt coming in, I've heard the Eagles are interested in Duke Johnson. I would hold on to him if I was a Browns, because you don't know what's going on.
With Kareem.
With Kareem Hunt.
Yeah.
But, and maybe move him at the deadline, but if they said, if Dorsey called you guys today, what do you think the Eagles would give up for Duke Johnson?
I think you'd get one of their fourth round picks.
Mm-hmm.
They've got 2 4th round picks. One's compensatory, so it'll be, I think, towards the back end of that round. But you're not getting either one of their seconds, and you're not getting a first. I think you're going to end up getting one of the fourth round picks.
See, and Dorsey might take that deal, although we have a lot of picks now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Dorsey's wheeling a deal, man. He's getting things done for you guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they need to put a big banner of him where LeBron went in Cleveland.
I saw LeBron getting hyped about it. There's another NBA player from Cleveland that was getting hyped about it, talking about his boy, John Dorsey. It was great, man. Congratulations. Hey, my wife, she's from the Baltimore area, but her mom and dad grew up in the Cleveland area, so they're all freaking out about what the Browns are doing.
Well, listen, my dad was a Browns fan. He had 8 children. I'm the only Browns fan.
Really?
Four diehard Steeler fans, so... I feel like I'm Jon Snow, ready to take back Winterfell.
Very good. Thanks for the call, man. We'll put you on hold. You're in the running for our 76ers tickets. That's great. We know who Daddy's favorite was,
yeah,
don't
right?
we, Bob? 8 o'clock hour brought to you by Martin Law, the law firm for injured workers. Visit paworkinjury.com. Now, Zach Berman has a newborn. He's been up for a while. And what's interesting about Zach Berman is not only is he up, but apparently his fake Twitter account was up as well today. Good morning, Zach.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me on the show.
Always a pleasure to have you on, man. Now, we saw this fake tweet out there saying Ronald Darby to, what was it, the Chiefs?
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. I was on Twitter this morning, and there was a fake Kansas City Chiefs account, and it looked like an official news story, and it was not. So
okay.
I apologize. Quickly corrected.
Oh, it happens to the best of us. Happens to all of us at least once a year. It's a beautiful
time.
Yeah,
a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, they got trained pretty bad. But, Zach, what a lot of people want to talk about today is Tevin Coleman goes off the board, so to speak, away from free agency, ends up signing with the 49ers. So a lot of people are looking at the running back position right now with the Eagles as their number one need. First and foremost, do you see it that way, and how do you solve that, Zach?
Well, I saw defensive tackle as their biggest need going into free agency. Obviously, they addressed that with Malik Jackson. So right now, I would agree running back is their biggest need. I would caution fans who are panicked from saying it's March 14th. Free agency literally opened yesterday. So, you know, there's a lot that can happen between now and the first week of September. That being said, I do think the Eagles must address this position, and they can't just wait until the draft. And the reason I say that is because you never know how the draft board's going to fall, frankly. You never know how your evaluations are going to be. The Eagles did not address the position in 2017. It was a loaded draft class, and then the board didn't really fall how they wanted to. Ended up with Donnell Pumphrey in the fourth round. They did sign LeGarrette Blount. A month later, they did trade for Jay Ajayi during the season. They did win a Super Bowl. There's a lot that can still happen, but I do think the Eagles need to address the position in the coming weeks.
Is there anyone available right now that you would say that would be a good addition, that would be a smart move?
Well, I actually thought Tevin Coleman would have been a sensible move, especially at that salary, but from what's available now, there's no no-brainer, I would say, although Spencer Ware is someone with starting experience who Doug Peterson knows. If you're looking for a change of scenery guy, T.J. Yeldon from Jacksonville, former second-round pick. And then I think you can look in the trade market. I like Duke Johnson quite a bit from Cleveland. Sure. Jordan Howard's obviously an accomplished running back. So there are options out there. I don't think there's that surefire no-brainer. But that being said, at this point, the Eagles aren't going to invest significant money in that position. So it's a matter of finding the right fit and hoping your evaluation's correct.
Speaking with Zach Berman, Philly.com, Philly Inquirer, and author of the book, Underdogs, covering the Eagles Super Bowl run from a year ago. Zach, looking at the draft, I know the Eagles met with a lot of running backs while they were out at the combine and all that. Is there one particular guy or maybe two that you're looking at running back-wise, young guy that could draft in the early goings or maybe with one of their fourth-round picks?
Well, if you're talking the first round, Josh Jacobs is the best running back in this draft. Now, I don't think the Eagles can get him in the second round. You probably need to invest a first rounder if he's on the board there. But then in the second round, you know, it really depends on what you think of these players. David Montgomery from Iowa State, the player I like. I actually like Miles Sanders from Penn State. You know, I think there are guys there you can get second round. I don't know about fourth round, but if you can either trade back from the second into the third, trade up from the fourth into the third, maybe the third round's a possibility. If you wait until day three, it's a real challenge because you could end up with Marlon Mack like the Colts did. You could end up with Donnell Pumphrey like the Eagles did. So, you know, that's too much of a risk. I think if you're looking for a significant contributor, then you need to think one of your first three picks.
Zach, what are they going to do with the linebacker position? With Jordan Hicks now on the move, and you know Nigel Bradham, great, love him, but your depth there and your other starter there doesn't seem to be around here yet, is it?
Yeah, good question there. And Nigel Bradham's going to have an even bigger role, frankly, when Jordan Hicks was injured during the Super Bowl run, and then last year Nigel played that three-down role for them, also was the defensive signal caller. I think they're comfortable with Nigel there. I wouldn't worry so much about three linebackers because the Eagles aren't in their base defense that often. Right. But you do need that second linebacker. They like Kamu Grugier-Hill. They like Nate Gary. Those are the internal options. What they really need to determine, are those guys ready to take on a bigger role? It's still early in free agency, so there are some players out there, the trade market too. If you want a name on the trade market who I like, Darren Lee from the Jets, who just signed C.J. Mosley. Lee was their first-round pick in 2016. Fast guy who can cover. But there are still players out there. I just don't think the Eagles prioritize that position financially, although I do think they are going to miss Jordan Hicks.
Asking a lot of people this recently, Zach, looking at DeSean Jackson coming back here, what do you expect him to do this upcoming season? How much do you think he has left in the tank?
I expect him to stretch the field. That's an obvious answer. I think that the move made sense because the Eagles needed a vertical receiver, but I would caution anyone listening to judge it on DeSean Jackson in 2019 and not DeSean Jackson in 2009. There could be some sentiment associated with this move, and you know, you kind of need to be careful with that. He obviously still is an outstanding vertical threat. Led the league in yards per catch last year. Everyone saw that 75-yard touchdown against the Eagles in week two. But he's someone who hasn't played a 16-game season since leaving Philadelphia. He's had over 1,000 yards twice in the past 5 years, I believe. So I think within the role in the offense, he's a good addition. But if you're expecting to see the Sean that left, I don't know if you're going to have that player.
Any surprise Nelson Agholor got the money guaranteed that he did yesterday?
Not surprised that he has that salary. More surprised that the Eagles are carrying that much money at wide receiver. Mm-hmm. Although when they're not paying anyone a running back, they have money to spend at wide receiver.
Well, I'm sorry, you blipped out for a second there, Zach. What was that?
Yeah, I said when you're not paying any running backs, you can pay some wide receivers.
Sure.
But the Eagles have a lot of money invested in wide receiver. I think what Nelson's getting paid is probably consistent with what he would get if the Eagles let him go. I thought they maybe would have given an extension They obviously did not do that. If you're going to have Nelson for 1 year at that salary, that's fine. But there are certain games when he could be your fourth or fifth option in the passing game. And so when you look at resource allocation, you're allocating a lot to wide receiver. And, the puzzle's not finished yet, so I'm real curious to see. But if you have deficiencies at running back, let's say, or at third safety or at linebacker, then you can look at how much you're tied into depth at wide receiver. So I'm real curious to see how this all finishes out.
Hey, if you had to put a grade on what they've done so far, like what would you grade them out at, the Eagles?
I would say incomplete. I really like Malik Jackson signing. I would give that an A signing. I think that was a steal for the Eagles. I think he's a good player who's an upgrade at a position of need, and they got a good value for him. There's still a lot of work left to be done, so I would say incomplete. They've only really made two moves here, and the Deshaun Jackson move, I'm not over the moon about it, not down on it. I really like the Malik Jackson move. So I would give them a good grade based on Malik Jackson. But, if this is the roster they have going into the draft, I don't think that's enough. I do think they still need to address running back. Third safety is the position I'm watching closely. Frankly, I think third safety is more important than third linebacker in this defense. And I'm curious to see what they do at defensive end as well.
How do you feel about what they did with Wisniewski and JP?
Jason Peters, I think that's a good price for him. I think Jason Peters is a better option than what they have with Halapulavati Vaitai or Jordan Mailata. But as I'm saying this, I shouldn't be giving my left tackle analysis to Trey Thomas. You would know better than me there. but with Stefan Wisniewski, I wouldn't really object to letting him go there. I think he's a good player, good depth player. Once they committed to Isaac Seumalo, then the writing was on the wall. That being said, when you talk about Isaac, you really need to make sure your evaluation is correct. A lot of times when you give a contract extension, you're worried about how much you're spending. In this case, it's more, are you properly evaluating him as a starter in this offense? Because, frankly, 2017 wasn't good, and he showed some more promise last year, but they're really committing to him. And Wisniewski was a starter on this Super Bowl team. I don't fault them for letting Wisniewski go, but I do think that they need Jeff Stoutland to really develop guys there. And I should say Matt Pryor, who's going to step up as a reserve guard, that's a player the Eagles really like.
Zach Berman, Philly.com. Last thing for you. Malik Jackson, you mentioned liking bringing him into Philadelphia, play next to Fletcher Cox and all that. I'm a fan of it as well, but he did have some struggles in Jacksonville. What was the issue? It was actually benched for some time there as well.
Yeah, he was benched last season. They said that his run defense, you can make that argument, I suppose. But I'll put it this way. 2 years ago, Malik Jackson was in the Pro Bowl, one of the best interior defensive linemen in the NFL. 3 years ago, he signed a six-year, $90 million contract with the Jags, coming off a Super Bowl in Denver. Last season, I still think that's the exception, not the rule. And I'll also say the Jags invested a first-round pick in Taven Bryan. You guys know how that goes oftentimes.
Right.
You want to get your first-rounders on the field. He's 29 years old. He's been productive. He's not the best run defender, but when you're talking about an interior pass rush and the value of that and the fact that the Eagles really missed that last season, I think this is a really good signing.
All right, Zach Berman, Philly.com, author of the book Underdogs as well. Thanks for coming on, man. Always good talking to you.
Anytime. Thanks, guys.
All right, Zach Berman. Thanks very much. 610-632-0975. We got Mike. We got open lines after that if you want to chime in, talk some Eagles with us. Also, we're going to get into some 76ers conversation and some Bryce Harper talk, including him being one hell of a guy in Clearwater. Still waiting for that first hit. Still waiting for that first hit.
All right, let's go, Phillies.
And then Malik Jackson did address the media yesterday, as we just talked about with Zach. He had some interesting things to say about what attracted him to the Eagles. And no, it wasn't just the money. Time at the Fanatic. Oh, we also have some more of the Nick Foles letter to Philadelphia. More of a dramatic reading from the lovely Sam Wilson coming up in a few as well. You're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Everybody, Farzetta and Trey in the morning here on 97.5 The Fanatic. In this segment, we'll get a dramatic reading from Sam Wilson of Nick Foles' letter in the Players' Tribune. We'll also be hearing from Malik Jackson. We'll play some cuts from his press conference yesterday. A couple of things that caught my attention. And the guy looks like he is very much willing to accept a challenge to turn his career back to where it should be, which is an elite defensive tackle in the NFL. Pro Bowl caliber. Especially elevating the game of a guy whose game doesn't need much elevation because it's pretty great already, and that's Fletcher Cox. Look forward to seeing those two play next to each other. But before we go any further, I now present a dramatic reading of Nick Foles' letter in the Players' Tribune to the Philadelphia fans from Nick Foles.
This is part two. I'm going to clarify.
Thank you, Sam. This is part two. I don't think this features an Andy Reid impression, unfortunately.
I want to thank Andy Reid and everyone else who played a role in drafting and developing me for in the first place way back then. I want to thank the entire Eagles organization. And when I say entire, I mean it sincerely. I'm talking anyone and everyone who made it so special on a daily basis to head into work and put on that midnight green. I even want to thank Chip Kelly for training me back in 2015.
Even.
Without that challenge in my life, I wouldn't be the player I am today. I want to thank my teammates. It's been a joy to play this game. Each and every one of you meant something.
That's beautiful.
And there is nothing that compares to game day with y'all. The sideline, the huddle, the locker room, all of it. I cherish these moments. And then last but not least, I want to thank the city of Philadelphia and Eagles fans everywhere. Because for as much of an honor as it's been to play for the city and this team, the truest privilege has been over the last year. In the time since we won the Super Bowl, having Eagles fans share their stories with me, having them remind me of how we didn't just win the Super Bowl, we won the Eagles' first Super Bowl ever. Getting to hear from Philly natives about how their father or their father's father or their mother's mother cried tears of happiness after the game. Learning about how, for most people, rooting for the Eagles is not a decision. It's a birthright.
That is what I'm talking about, Sam. I'm reading this, and I'm hearing this music in my head. I'm teary-eyed, and I'm not being sarcastic here. Like, I am dead serious. Reading that, there was the connection between Nick Foles and the fan base. And yes, mainly because he won a Super Bowl here. But he also, I felt, represented the city great. I thought he did a phenomenal job while he was here in Philadelphia of echoing every sentiment of the fans as he played the game of football, Trey. Mm-hmm. That's how I felt about it.
Absolutely.
How could you not? How could you not? Thank you, Sam. We'll get a final installment before the show lets out, but it's a sad day, especially seeing him walk off the plane in Jacksonville with the Jacksonville Jaguars hat on. Probably, I don't know, press conference later today, I assume, as he signs that and makes official that deal to be a Jacksonville Jaguar. And Bob Cooney is an emotionless man.
Shrugged it off. So, Bob, when you hear someone say father, a father's father.
I thought he was saying his mother was a mutter.
So would you just say grandfather?
Yeah, I think so.
You'll go. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, Bob, that's not as dramatic.
Yeah, that doesn't
have as much impact.
Okay, father's father.
Yeah, that right there makes it sound like you're going back way generations.
Mother or mother's mother.
Their mother or their mother's mother. Yes, or their father or their father's father. That adds a lot more stank to it than just their father or their grandfather.
No, it says to me that he had a word count that he had to hit. So instead of putting one grandfather, it was a father's father. You know, you got to get that extra word in there.
Extra word.
Yeah, I remember doing that in school.
This isn't a college paper.
Yeah. Yeah. 500-word essay. No problem.
Yeah,
very, very. 4 pages. Font size 20. Got it. 610-632-0975. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness, ladies and gentlemen.
Wow.
I can't EJ. Believe this. What an amazing turn
your
of
mic on, EJ.
Amazing. Bearing gifts. Yeah.
Turn of events. Our boss, Eric Uh-oh. Johnson, has just walked in studio with a box of donuts for Bob Cooney. This is amazing.
Pat Egan, too.
Where's Patty?
Well, he doesn't even know what's happening yet. Yeah, he's in another studio listening to something
I'm driving
else.
In this morning. You guys are jonesing for donuts.
Oh,
man.
We were jonesing. And you went out and
jonesing
bought them?
Jonesing for donuts.
Did you go out and buy donuts?
I was coming down City Line Avenue, and there's a Dunkin' Donuts there, and I had this gift card. So,
I
re-gifted from Christmas.
Oh, very nice. There you go. And there is a box of a dozen donuts. Bob Cooney and Pat Egan have been pining for these donuts all morning. Jamie, did you take a pie in the face for the donuts?
I got a breakfast sandwich, actually. It was delicious.
Did you take a pie in the face?
That's coming later at 11:30.
Oh, okay. Yes. That makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. I'm trying to be the one that throws it. Well, you can bid on that.
I
have
a complete corporate schedule around for this donut thing today, and I think of all the guys, we have our bosses being on this list. Joe Bell's on the list.
Yeah, okay.
But I think Jamie's the guy I want to get.
Yeah,
you might have to outbid me for that.
Wow,
hey, it's very good cause. Get it up.
No, that's what?
What?
That's what she said. Thank you.
It's
thank
pie
you.
Day.
Well, EJ, thank you so much. That's awesome. See that's a boss right there, ladies and gentlemen.
There you go.
EJ hears the employees clamoring for some donuts. He's like, I'm going City Ave.
Yeah.
I got a gift card. Yeah. I'm going to deliver donuts. There you go.
Yeah.
That's what you want. That's what you want.
That's our boss.
You know what else you want? You want a guy who's going to come into Philadelphia and have the same kind of passion, intensity, and something to prove, just like Nick Foles did. That man's name now is Malik Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
He comes into Philadelphia yesterday, takes to the podium at the NovaCare Complex, sporting his own high school Letterman jacket.
That was pretty cool.
That was pretty cool. He's from the California. He's from L.A. area?
Yes, Birmingham High in L.A., which sounds a little weird.
That does sound odd. But he's sporting that jersey, the Letterman jacket, and he's addressing the media. And yesterday talked about joining an already stacked defensive line.
It was a lot of my decision, you know, to go somewhere where I had a good D line, you know, because like I said, I want to get back to where I know where I can be, and to do that, I need good D linemen around me. So coming here with these four guys, Barnett, Graham, and Fletcher, I mean, hell, I don't think there's a better D line in the league. So it was important to me to come where I can come and use my talents and have one-on-one opportunities.
I've seen some writers make an issue with this, and in a good way. That there's something that Howie Roseman inherited. If there's anything Howie Roseman inherited from the Andy Reid years, it was that your lines have to be stacked.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have good guys in the trenches, Trey.
That's right. That's
just
where the
like
game
you.
Is, that's where the game is won and lost.
And that's what they're
it's
able to do.
It's all about the trenches, man.
Malik Jackson comes in here to Philadelphia, a Pro Bowler, a Super Bowl champion. He's looking to bring a lot of that that he's able to accomplish. He's now looking to bring that into South Philadelphia, which is great to hear. It's great to see. But speaking of seeing, he saw a stacked defensive line when the Jaguars played against the Eagles in London last year. And he said that when he was asked about the mindset that he wants to join up, he said, well, what you see here in Philadelphia, that mindset, what you learn here in Philadelphia, that mindset is something that I want to be a part of.
I mean, smash mouth. You see the way they play. You see the way they have fun. We were able to play against them in England. And so that was cool. You know, just to see the way they play, they run around. The D-linemen get off, the linebackers get it up, and the safeties are back there doing their thing, and corners back there doing their thing. So I think they play free. I think they're the new style of the league where you just go out there, punch somebody in the mouth and see what they do. And I like that.
You gotta love a guy talking about his new teammates like that. Like, mm-hmm. He seems giddy to be here.
Oh, yeah. I think this is going to re-energize this guy. I mean, you know, especially where you come out of a situation where you felt like you were being benched or that you just weren't playing up to your standard. So you're coming back here, you get around Fletcher Cox, you get around BG, Chris Long and company, and you feel like, you know what, it's going to make you raise your game up to the next level.
Is there any worry? And this has been brought up now with Malik Jackson. He likes to play the three technique defensive tackle. Fletcher Cox likes to play the three technique defensive tackle. Is there any issue there where they're going to have struggles trying to get that chemistry down?
No, I don't think so. I think the way everybody changes and shifts and moves around, that it'll be okay.
No worries there whatsoever.
Nah.
I love that. This is a guy that is looking to reignite his career.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants to do it here in Philadelphia. He's not old by any means. He's 29 years old. He'll be 30 in January, so he'll be 30 all year until, you know, the playoffs, obviously. But this is a guy that I think is coming here a little hungry, a little chip on his shoulder. That can only add his motivation for him, no?
Absolutely. I mean, I hope he comes in and does what he's supposed to do. Now, Man, I'm just, as I scroll through this, I see an article that Brandon Lee Gowden just put out that Jalen Mills says as the Eagles are going to have the league's best defense.
Saw that.
Yeah. Cody Benjamin.
Going to be the number one defense in the league.
Big if true.
Cody Benjamin, who's a writer for CBS, national writer for CBS, got a conversation with Malik Jackson, got a conversation with the Green Goblin himself. And he said that Jalen Mills, according to Jalen Mills, the Eagles are going to have that number one defense in the league.
Yeah. That, you know, every time I hear something like that, it just reminds me of the Dream Team. And it just throws me off. Just play.
I won't go that far.
It does.
Because I think every team will think of their defense as the best in the league. Like, I think a lot of defenders will talk about that. I'll put it like this. I think 15 teams, maybe, would say that about their defense. Maybe not every team. I think some other teams are like, yeah, no, we got a lot of stuff to work on. But I think a guy like Jalen Mills is talking about it from a secondary standpoint, seeing the defensive line is going to be, like I said earlier, stacked again. I don't fault him for that. I love that.
Well, for the D-line to be productive, they need to be productive.
Sure.
Yeah.
That secondary needs to be on point. And then for someone that got roasted quite a bit, mm-hmm. you know, let's get back healthy and come back ready.
Yeah, that's a big, big statement. When you don't have probably your other starting linebacker on the roster yet, mm-hmm. your secondary is suspect at best. Mm-hmm. You know, God bless him, but I don't know.
Now, do I think this defense is going to be good? Absolutely. I think this is going to be a hell of a defense. You have all the tools there. But let's just get...
Yeah.
Before you start putting stuff out there like that, let's get healthy and get back on the field as a unit.
Yeah.
And let's see where we are.
All right. Malcolm Jenkins, Roddy McLeod, Sidney Jones, Rasul Douglas, Jalen Mills. That's your secondary.
Mm-hmm.
Roddy McLeod, hope you know he comes back from that injury. A-OK. No yeah, worries there. Okay. Ronald Darby, we don't know what's going to happen as far as he goes.
I think he's gone.
You think he's as good as gone?
Yeah.
Well, the Chiefs were interested.
They were having him in for a visit regardless yesterday. Yeah. So.
And then there was the fake tweet earlier today
that
said that they signed him, and that's still and out in the open.
The number's getting tight for the Eagles. I think they have a roughly $14 million, mm-hmm. 4 or 5 of which you have to keep for the rookie class. So, like, it's getting tight.
Here's the thing with the cap. With the Eagles, as far as I'm concerned,
I know I never sweat it, but it's crunch time.
It's there. I understand that.
Yeah,
but I feel like if it's ever close, Howie's got us.
Yeah, he does.
That's how I feel about it. I feel like, and that might be naive, but every single year he seems to work something out.
Sexy, right? You know,
every single year Howie Roseman seems to be able to work something out around the cap to make it work. No matter what it might be, whether it's Alshon Jeffrey, whether that be Roddy McLeod years ago, whatever it might be, he finds a way to restructure and make things work. Like, here's the thing. When people say, oh, they can't do that because of the cap, I'm like, well, before before the offseason, did you expect Jason Kelce to get restructured? Did you expect Jason Peters to sign that another one-year deal?
No.
Lane Johnson, for him to move money around?
Mm-hmm.
Brandon Graham? Like, none of this was supposed to work.
Mm.
Howie made it work.
Yeah, he makes it work.
You can't fault him for that. But, again, with Malik Jackson here, and now DeSean Jackson, you have two guys that I feel will be instant impact players. We talked about at the trade deadline last year, as DeSean Jackson was going to be that instant impact plug-and-play type player.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with Malik Jackson. You're going to get that time in training camp, mini camp, training camp, all that, to get those guys to play next to each other like Fletcher Cox and build up that camaraderie, that chemistry that was able to be built up with Tim Jernigan. And they were very good, Bob, as you pointed out, with Tim Jernigan last year as well, and the year before.
Yeah, yeah. And if people are calling this an upgrade from Jernigan. And Trey, that's one of the questions I wanted to ask you real quick. We always talk about how much it'll help Fletcher Cox. Mm-hmm. Well, how much does it help Jackson to play next to a Fletcher Cox? Like, what does that free up for him?
Because now you know that you're not going to be the one that's getting the double team.
Right.
Especially when it comes into passing situations, you know that they're 9 times out of 10, they're probably going to slide that line to Fletcher Cox in to kind of help the guard out. And then now, so that means you're man on. And I mean, with lot of single one up man on man, because especially if you have a wide rushing in, you know, 9 times out of 10, the center is going to slide to wherever Fletcher Cox is. So that means that you're one on one, especially if that end is coming upfield, because I mean, the tackle is going to have to go up and go set for the end.
Right.
Now, here's the other thing I'm looking at here from some news from yesterday. Mm-hmm. It comes out, and we talked to Adam Schefter at 8 o'clock yesterday morning, or 8:30 yesterday morning, about an hour ago, and he told us that Nelson Agholor and the Eagles had no interest in parting ways. Next thing you know, $9 million with Nelson Agholor gets guaranteed, basically guaranteeing his salary. I don't know what it is. I think he's got potential, but something about a 25, 26-year-old with potential in the NFL, first-round pick, I shouldn't be saying potential anymore. I should be saying what he does. Mm-hmm. Now, if you look at the last 2 years, they're almost identical statistically, even with 20-plus yard per catch, all that stuff. Pretty much identical. Excuse me, how many catches he had of 20 or more yards, pretty much identical. Amount of yards he had last season, amount of catches he had last season, touchdowns, all that. The big difference is that last year he seemed for 2-3 games at a time, maybe four, where he had six catches in, I believe, a four-game stretch. He was disappearing from the stat book. Mm-hmm. And I understand the blocking and what he's creating for other players and all that. But what about him being the guy to step up and get things done for you? That wasn't there like it was last year.
Yeah, that's when I lean on Jason Avant. Anytime you hear Jason Avant talk about Nelly, about how he gets open, how, you know, he's always open, one of the best receivers at making himself available, is just, can Carson find him? I think that when you have a situation where you have the full offseason to work together and to spend that time with the receivers, I think you'll see a much a totally different level of production from him after he has some time for Carson to get back into the full swing of things with them.
All right, that's what I'm hoping happens here. 610-632-0975. Coming up, I had the opportunity to interview Boban Marjanovic and Tobias Harris. Besties, to say the least, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we gave them a little Philly trivia test for NBCSportsPhiladelphia.com, the My Teams app and all that. I'm going to let you hear one of my favorite parts from that. It's about a 20-second clip where they're trying to pronounce a very famous Philadelphia word that some outsiders can have some struggles with.
Right.
So we'll get into that. And then Zion Williamson got himself into a little bit of, I don't want to call it trouble, but definitely raised some eyebrows of people you don't want to raise the eyebrows of. So we'll get into all that and more coming up in a few here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Welcome back, everybody. Farzetta and Trey in the morning. So much to get into in this next segment here. But first off, I want to reset our board. We've got wide open lines for you right now. And we are giving away a pair of 76ers tickets as well as a spot in our knockout tournament, Trey.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be on the court after the Sixers take on the Nets. So we can give you a pair of tickets. Caller of the day, we'll get a pair of tickets to Sixers-Brooklyn Nets March 28th. That's a Thursday night. And we'll also get one spot in our knockout tournament on the court after the game. You can register for that competition as well on our contest page at 975thefanatic.com. All you got to do is be a caller of the day. We've been talking a lot of Eagles today. Where you want them to go in the draft? What do you want them to do to address the need at running back? It's pretty much all out there. The number one need right now, running back. They went out there, they got the defensive line help in Malik Jackson. Went out there and got a wide receiver to stretch the field in DeSean Jackson. Over under on how many times we're going to hear this term before the season starts. Take the top off the defense. Mm. I felt like I heard it 30 times yesterday.
Yeah.
Listening to this station, talking to people about it out on the streets. Mm-hmm. People want to talk about DeSean Jackson taking the top off the defense. Yeah. So, callers of the day will be put in the running for some Sixers tickets. That's what we got going on for you. Now, speaking of those 76ers, like I said before the break, I had the opportunity to talk to Boban Marjanovic and Tobias Harris. Tobias Harris will actually be on the show tomorrow. I look forward to talking to him. But I had the chance to talk to those guys at the 76ers Youth Gala the other night at the Fillmore, right in Philadelphia. And those guys are every bit of fun as you would imagine. Those guys are awesome guys.
Pass me the drone. Your name is the drone.
I had the opportunity to give them a little Philly quiz. Asked them five questions. It actually turned out to be six because they couldn't pronounce the word Schuylkill. And that's what we're going to talk about for a second here. Some local colloquialisms. Like, Trey, when you were coming to Philadelphia from Florida, what were some of the things you had to get a grasp of?
The John was definitely one. Timberlands in all types of weather, and just Timberlands in basketball court, swimming pool.
Oh, where is it? You know,
just on the beach. Or the shore. I had to get used to. Also, I had to get used to, because from Florida we say the beach. Here is the shore.
Yeah, you go to the shore. You know, down shore.
Yeah. So you know, I had to get used to that. I had to get used to when I'm at the barbershop, you know, a cat that I'm sitting out on the corner and we chilling and we talking real hard, and then he go in there and get his beard dyed and his hair dyed, and I'm like, okay, what just happened? You know, but you know, that's just one of the things I had to get used to.
Would you say beards?
Yeah, the beard.
Like, are you talking about like the tight to the face beard, or are you talking about the long, tight
to
like,
the
big beard?
No, tight to the face. You know, anybody from Philly, y'all know, please call up and explain the beard dye. Because I mean, I'm just saying. Yeah, I mean, it was what it was.
I get accused of dyeing my beard.
Yeah, oh no. This is, I'm talking about jet black dye. You know,
Bryce Harper dad dye.
Yeah, jet black.
Brian Wilson closer guy. Yeah.
Even if you don't have hair there, it's dyed in there.
Yeah,
it
looks like a tattoo. I know what you're saying.
Yeah. So that was big. And then, just getting the grasp of, you know, just the Philly, man. It was a totally different vibe coming from where I'm from.
Yeah, I get accused of dyeing my beard dark, but I balded prematurely. I didn't go gray.
Yeah.
So I think that was my trade off with God.
There you go.
Genes,
you don't
dye
the beard, do you?
No. Yeah, and I mean, if you rinse your beard, that's cool. But I'm talking about guys that he used to have the low beards, and man, they had their beard dyed in, they had the edges all dyed in, to their haircuts, it would all be all dyed in. But
like,
you know,
Carlos Boozer back in the day.
Yeah, I don't know who that is.
Yeah, okay. He played for the Chicago Bulls. Yeah, he had the weirdest dyed in hair.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Remember that, Gene? Yeah, he likes.
What was that?
More dramatic music I was trying to find.
Thank you.
But yeah, he like spray painted his head.
Yeah.
So really like his hairline was painted on.
Yeah.
There's the one picture of him where it's like atrocious looking.
Interesting.
Yeah.
All right, so that was something unique to Philly.
Carlos Boozer also, a little fun fact, once rented his house to Prince. And Prince reworked the entire house, got like all this work done, put in like all these purple monument statues. I think he even put a moat in, like a purple river moat.
What the hell? Oh, wow.
He was renting the house in L.A. So Carlos Boozer's like, yo, like Prince, what the hell, man? and Prince apparently just like threw him like $5 million or something and was like,
right.
just fix that back the way you want it.
You know, Prince was like, I got to set the mood.
Yeah.
Could you imagine
Eric? Ever dance with the devil in the pill?
Could you imagine ever in your life saying this phrase? Prince, man, what the hell? Carlos Boozer has said that.
Yes, he rented his house to Prince in L.A. once.
He's lived a far more interesting life than we have. Well, I have, at least. So we're trying to learn these Italian.
Will Prince check you, though? Like, how do you take that when Prince, you know?
Well, according to Dave Chappelle, Prince could ball.
Yeah.
Or according to Charlie Murphy.
Shirts versus like, blouses.
Shirts versus blouses.
Get real gangster with you?
Supposedly he had that gear, Trey. Supposedly he had that gear. But so there's Philadelphia colloquialisms, things that are unique to us that aren't exactly known throughout the rest of the world, even the rest of America, even. So we had the chance to throw a couple of questions for NBC Sports Philadelphia to Boban Marjanovic and Tobias Harris that were specific to Philadelphia. We gave them a little Philly trivia quiz. And Bob, they've been here, what, a month? A little bit more than a month
about
now?
That, yeah.
Okay. You would think they'd know Philly a little bit. They had trouble with one particular word, and that's when I asked them to pronounce Schuylkill, as in Schuylkill Expressway or Schuylkill River. Here is Boban Marjanovic and Tobias Harris trying to pronounce Schuylkill. For the win, pronounce this word.
Schuylkill.
What was that?
Schuylkill.
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 Yep.
All right. We're throwing it out. Schuylkill.
Come on, man. Nobody was kidding.
You can see the full thing on NBC's website, but that they had a lot of fun with that. I had a lot of fun just doing that bit with them. And we talked for maybe 5 minutes in total, and they couldn't have been nicer guys. Like I said, how they come off to be on Bobby and Toby in that show, and how they come off to be in press conferences, whatever, is how they are. They're just a fun couple of dudes to be around. But Schuylkill, do you know how many people can't spell that?
A lot.
You know how I know? I read my Twitter feed after I posted the video. Jamie, you're one of them. You
I missed an L.
I always forget the L
after
the Y.
I thought it was one L for some reason.
After the Y, there's an L. S-C-H-U-Y-L-K-I-L-L. And from what I understand, it's redundant to say Schuylkill River. Because, like, I think kill means, like, in Dutch or something like that, it means river. Mm. Something like that. I don't know. Somebody told me that
so
once.
So you just say the Schuylkill.
So the Schuylkill. Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah. It's the school river.
I guess it would be.
School river.
I guess that's what it would be. 610-632-0975. Getting some fun facts, Trey?
Oh, no. Just people just tweeting me what the hairline is and all of that. They tweet me to die.
Oh, wow. I'm seeing it now, too. They just tagged our friend Mac, who tweets us from time to time.
Yeah, so there you go.
That is one hell of a beard.
Yeah, man. Hey, I'm talking about, man, they had that thing and they laid in there tight.
Now, I remember the first time I saw a beard like this.
Mm-hmm.
Was like at a high school dance. Mm-hmm. So I would say, yeah, that was around the time you would have gotten here.
Yeah. I'm talking about the beers were dyed in, man.
Yeah.
Oh.
But I remember like some of the girls that would bring like an older guy to the dance. I'm about to say older, like maybe like a college freshman, you know, not like a 40-year-old dude, whatever.
Yeah.
But, like to a high school prom or something, whatever. The one guy would walk in with that type of beard.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, is somebody's dad here? What's going on here?
Yeah.
But yeah, that was a tight beard.
Yeah.
Black dye.
Yeah.
And all that jazz.
Yeah.
Not like Brian Wilson, former closer for the San Francisco Giants, but not that, or Bryce Harper's father, but a little tight.
Yeah, tight beard, tight cut.
Rasheed, Bluebell, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Rasheed?
Hello, how are you? Good morning.
Morning, buddy.
Now I was going to talk about the Philadelphia Eagles free agency.
I thought they did
a good job with bringing DeSean Jackson back because like the speed element from our offense was missing from the 2017 season. And you could just see everything was compressed down. And like with DeSean Jackson, you were able to take the top off the defense. You can run a lot of 12 personnel. You got everything that's going to be underneath that's going to be open. And then when it's come to running the ball, you're going to get a lot of 7-man fronts, 6-man fronts. And that'll help out a lot. And I feel like we do need a running back. That's one of the other things that we need is a running back, maybe like a backup safety, and then like an inside linebacker, I would say. And due to the fact of Bell going to New York.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.